This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on a Wednesday, WIP afternoon show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, we are in Clearwater. It's a little rainy. Ikey, how are we feeling?
Brother Spike, I feel pretty good. A lot more quiet than it was yesterday, as we are indoors today, and there's no game here at the ballpark. I feel pretty good, though. Jackie Baseball. I forgot about you over there for a minute.
Well,
holler at your boy.
It happens often with me. Just, you know, forgotten about.
Well, you're just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jag Fritz.
Jag wow. Fritz. Jag Fritz.
Just a guy.
Yep. Well, we have a big show today.
You stressed?
Yeah. I'm so pissed off right now. I have to be honest with you. I want to share with you, the listener, that I'm pissed off. I have some issues going on at my house. You know, we're in Clearwater. There's nothing I can do about it. And, you know, no matter how many times you tell your wife to put the alarm app on her phone and she doesn't do it, and you're the only one that has to deal with anything.
Uh-oh.
And you're trying to do a radio show, and, like, you know, every once in a while you have a bad day, but you're with your guys in Clearwater, so everything's okay, even if you're the only one that has the app on your phone and you have to do something about it, even though you're not there.
So things are going well?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Wife talk.
So anyway, it's a big show. No. Love my wife. Love. Big show today. Trey Turner joins us at 2:30. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. This is real right here. Yeah. This is real. This is real radio. Trey Turner joins us at 2:30. Bryce Harper joins us at 3:30. Preston Mattingly, Philly's GM, joins us at 4:30. It's a big show. It's a big show. But as usual, nothing ever sort of stops in Eagles land. And I want to preface this conversation with A.J. Brown, about A.J. Brown, saying that I don't think anybody on this show at the moment is saying that the Philadelphia Eagles should trade A.J. Brown. That's not what we're saying. Okay, but there's been, like, a lot of noise about A.J. Brown, specifically around the New England Patriots. So the first thing, and again, this is an opinion, but it's an opinion from, you know, Boston. Tom Curran on WEEI said this about A.J. Brown and the Patriots.
You know, with all the different receiver names that are out there and T. Higgins getting tagged and, you know, potential trade options, is the dream dead for A.J. Brown? I know he just won the Super Bowl, but he is the most connected to Mike Vrabel.
It's a crazy
offseason. Could that happen?
I love A.J. Brown, and I love the fact that you actually are sensible enough to go back to A.J. Brown instead of barking up the T. Higgins, D.K. Metcalf, both at NIU, who are just not going to happen. A.J. Brown is a much more reasonable get.
Okay.
So, why would the Eagles divorce themselves from him? I don't know exactly what but I think that's reasonable. I also think Devontae Adams and Chris Godwin are very reasonable.
Trey kind of
talked last week, Jonesy, about option A, B, and C. If you're the Patriots right now, who's your option A at wide receiver? I just talked about this with Phil Perry on my pod. He said that he's making Chris Godwin his option A, putting everything into him, but you should also be sending drinks over to Devontae Adams, in my estimation.
No, we don't need this part.
Is that it? Okay, that's it. All right, there we go. So they are talking about A.J. Brown being a reasonable get for the New England Patriots. And then, if you remember, Mike Vrabel, when he got hired by the Patriots, he was on WEEI, and he said this.
maybe if you provide free books on the sidelines, you might be able to get a certain wide receiver here.
Yeah, we'll see. But
was he a big reader back when you guys were together?
I think AJ's just trying to find ways to I'm proud of his development, his personal development, and working on himself and working on controlling his and getting back to center. And again, he's a passionate player, and I love him to death, and I have a very, very close relationship with him.
There you go. So Mike Vrabel, very, very close relationship. And also, another thing, Matthew Berry said, I've heard the Patriots will do whatever they can to get a real wide receiver one for Drake May. One person told me they heard the Patriots called Philly asking if A.J. Brown is available. So, Ike, I ask you, not would you, but do you think it's possible the Eagles would explore trading A.J. Brown?
No, I don't. I think when, you get, I'm not going to say AJ's a generational type player. I think those are reserved for those types of players. But he's very close to being one of those types of players. He is arguably the best at the position. I know you get a couple guys, Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, you'll put in front of him. But A.J. Brown, his age, what he brings, how important he is to the offense, no, I wouldn't do it. I don't think the Eagles would do it. I think he's the second best player on the team. Before this past year, I had him as the best player on the team. And Saquon came in and sort of moved ahead of him as the best player on the team. But A.J. Brown, I just think, is one of those rare talents that when you get those guys in your building, you don't let those guys out of your building. And he is still a young player, approaching his prime right now. And listen, we got more titles to win. And there's nothing wrong with having good players in the fold. And, I don't think the Eagles should entertain it or would entertain it.
So when I think about whether it's realistic, here's what I think. And I would not do it. I think A.J. Brown's a great player. But I do think whether it's realistic or not, I think that answer is different. And here's why I think about it. First of all, he wouldn't be the first number one wide receiver to – for lack of a better word, for teams to move on from, mm-hmm. because it wasn't working out, or because they wanted to allocate assets elsewhere from a money standpoint, whatever. So it wouldn't be the first time that people moved on from that position. The second thing is I don't know how tenable it is for the Eagles, and you brought this up when we talk about going to get other players, when we talk about Myles Garrett, to continue to pay two wide receivers what they're paying and pay everybody else. They've paid everybody on the offensive line so far outside of Cam Jurgens and Mekhi Becton. We expect Cam Jurgens to get paid this offseason. Mekhi Becton hopefully won't get paid like the other guys, but will get paid, right? Landon Dickerson getting paid, Lane Johnson getting paid, Jordan Mailata getting paid. The quarterback is getting paid. The quarterback isn't on his rookie salary anymore, so he's on a $50 million a year contract. The other wide receiver is getting paid. We're going to walk into a world where Jalen Carter is going to be getting paid, and the other young players on the defense are getting paid. So, And then there's the other thing, and this is, we don't know how much this is, but we certainly know it's there, is the happiness that A.J. Brown will be here, not being featured maybe the way that he would like to be featured or feels the way that he should be featured. And whatever that tension is, whether it's a little or a lot, it seems to vary depending on the week between him and Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. And there was a situation in Buffalo, and the wide receiver not quite as good, Stephon Diggs not as good as A.J. Brown, but they decided, hey, we have our future is this quarterback. Our future is this. If there's tension there, we don't want that tension. We'd rather have a lesser player and not have that tension, and we'll move forward. So I don't think it's optimal. I don't think they would want to do it. But I do think, is it realistic is a different question. And I do think it's realistic for them to think that way.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I guess you have to entertain everything. I don't know if New England made that call. What are they offering? I can't imagine they would be offering the fourth pick in the draft for A.J. Brown, but could they be offering a future first-round pick and a second-round pick right now? I guess they could. I still wouldn't do it. I think the Eagles, they've set the standard about winning. And if we're going to be that championship organization, when you have good players in your building, you don't let them out of your building. You just don't. And I understand young players that may come up for a contract and you can't afford to keep those guys like a Milton Williams or something like that. But an A.J. Brown is just one of those players. I mean, like Devontae Smith, these guys, in my opinion, would be here. You know, if you're Jalen, you know, what does the quarterback feel about that? You know, you go to the quarterback and tell him you're taking away his number one wide receiver. I don't know what he feels about that.
Yeah, I don't know what he would feel either, to be honest with you.
I imagine he wouldn't be too happy, would it?
Yeah, I imagine. Somebody else then becomes number one wide receiver.
Sure.
It's not the current guy. 215-592-9494. Do you think it's realistic that the Eagles would entertain trading A.J. Brown? Jack, what do you think?
I don't. I think the Eagles would rather move on from defensive. If they have to make a move, if they have to – like, I think they are, not to do the defense is a luxury thing that I know we just heard about for the last hour.
Right.
But I think they would much, much, much rather choose letting a defensive player go or not paying a defensive player over what they view as premium, which is the offense. And I just think that they view this as, like, AJ is just too important to what they do on offense. Like, obviously he's a great player, we know that. But, and not to make it about Jalen, but, like, he needs that. He needs A.J. Brown if they're going to win. And I think that's in their window. So if it costs them defensive players, 100%. I just don't – this whole Patriots and A.J. Brown thing feels more one-sided than anything. But it seems to continue to be out there about A.J. Brown. I don't really get it.
Well, so if I'm to look at it from the Patriots standpoint and Mike Vrabel's standpoint, I look at it and I say, hey, maybe there's a cut that we can open up a little bit wider if we start talking about it publicly. You know, they know what AJ's like, right? They know AJ's an emotional guy. They know AJ wants to be featured more than he is. And maybe if they stir up the pot publicly because they can't do it privately, right? Mike Vrabel can't reach out to AJ Brown and say this, but if the media around it, if they go to reporters and say, hey, maybe we did this, maybe we did that, maybe they could sort of like almost wish it into happening and sort of create something that I'm not saying is there with AJ, but maybe a little bit of it is there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if and I guess you'd have to know his state of mind as far as his happiness and being here. But yeah, that always plays a part in it. I mean, it just does. And there's a past relationship there with Mike Vrabel. You know, Mike Vrabel speaking openly about his affection for A.J. Brown as a player and a
coach.
On
the radio.
Yeah, on the radio talking about that situation. So that's obviously there. And we see the obvious need there for New England with that situation. I just don't see, from the Eagles' standpoint, of why they would do it. Like, I understand why New England would want to do it. They need to get as many weapons as they can for Drake May. But from an Eagles standpoint, you're the defending champion right now. You know, you trade away A.J. Brown, and that separation between you and whomever that number two team is has closed dramatically when you don't have A.J. Brown on your team, because that team doesn't have to worry about A.J. Brown anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, like, right, right.
And here's where I'll disagree a little bit with Jack as far as the Eagles and the whole idea of getting rid of a defensive player versus a guy like AJ. I think the Eagles value great players, good players. And so I just don't think they would – now, if you're talking about an expendable defensive player, sure. Right? An expendable offensive player, tight end. Right? Maybe like, but you're not going to get rid of a Jalen Carter.
No.
Right? You're not going to get rid of your two young corners. Like, your good young players, you're not getting rid of.
No, you would say they are the future of the defense.
Yes.
The future of the defense is Jalen Carter, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeGene. Mm-hmm. Like, where else? That's it,
Nolan
right?
Nolan Smith,
right. Yeah. Jordan Davis, we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. Reed Blankenship is a good player, but I don't know that he is the future core. But those are the guys. N'Kobe Dean, we'll see when he comes back. But, those are the core. Yeah, I don't think they'd let any of those guys go. any of that young core. I don't think that either. I do think it sort of leans into the question with the Eagles this year about whether they think they can run back what they did or they think they need to evolve and get better. And it seems like overall, now I wouldn't, making AJ Brown isn't you getting better, but right. It just seems like the vibe from the management, the vibe from the players, like what they did with Saquon, giving Saquon that money, is that they're going to lean into keeping what they had together instead of evolving and I'm saying improving, but evolving and improving through evolving.
Yeah, I can only imagine what trading AJ Brown would do to the locker room.
Yeah. Would not be good.
If I'd see that on Twitter, if I'm a player, I'm like, what? This can't be real. You know what that would do to the locker room? Every player,
it's like when they released Deshaun.
Yeah, every player in their locker room would be worse. It would be worse than that. Because I know Deshaun, like, I don't know if Deshaun was as tuned in with everybody on the team as much as A.J. Brown appears to be. On it. You know, Deshaun had his own little way of doing his thing. He had his own friends, and this and that and the other. So, doesn't mean he wasn't a good teammate. But I feel like everybody on this team pretty much loves A.J. Brown. And you make that type of move, man, and players in that locker room are like, what in the hell are we doing? How do you sell them on we're trying to win? How do you sell them on this is a – you go from making one move that seems to make it – you're loyal and you're a great organization to making a move that everybody is scratching their head over with A.J. Brown.
I completely forgot about Chip for a second there. And
well, I'm going to trade Shady. That was
Shady. Yeah.
It'd be that. I mean,
what a time.
Comparable to that.
What a time. 215-592-9494. It's like we sent out the bat signal. OG Wager on WIP.
What's up, fellas? How are we doing today?
OG.
We turn the return.
The OG's rhythm always gets out there, doesn't it? And everybody talking about it. I mean, I was the first one. So
yeah, you're a fire starter.
Oh, can we stop it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're not going to stop. Like,
no, we're not.
I put it out there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you put it out there last offseason, too, and then they went and won the Super Bowl with them. So, you know, let's call a spade here.
All right, let's go down this rabbit hole. Right?
All right.
Now, we all married.
Yes.
Let's
yes.
take the kids
yeah.
out of it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take the kids out of it. Now, if our wife was not happy with us, you know what I'm saying, and you're doing everything that you can do to make her happy, what would you do in that situation? If you know your wife is not happy with you, she's not really. Now y'all love each other, but y'all ain't in love no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would allow her to go and you know. And seek for her happiness. You know what I'm saying? Because obviously I'm not doing it. This is what we got here. We got a marriage going on here that, quite frankly, AJ already got his Super Bowl. He's been to two. He's the highest paid, one of the highest paid receivers in the NFL, and he's not happy with his touches. So if I'm AJ, I would actually wouldn't mind going and being with the coach that I prefer to play with, and playing with my childhood team. You know what I'm saying? There's really no incentive for AJ to continue to be here if he's not going to get the 10 or 11 catches a game that he wants, because you know it's not going to happen. Now, if I'm Howie, on the other hand, I can see that, listen, I'm paying this guy as much money as I can pay him. He's still not happy. We won with him, but with not him getting all of those catches. So I already see I can win without him, but not without him altogether. But DK Metcalf was out there on the trading block right now. I can go and get a DK Metcalf to replace AJ, and I can send AJ to New England for next year's this year's two and a three. What do you say?
They're not. DK Metcalf is not AJ Brown.
They ain't got to be AJ Brown. You need. Listen, this is where you guys got to get over. Get over the name on the back of the jersey. Get over the numbers. Because
unless it's about the quarterback, then it's about the name on the back of the jersey.
It's already been proven that you don't need no receiver getting 12 catches a game. So you don't need that. That is great to have. It's a pretty toy. But it just doesn't – it's not something that you need to win. But I'm saying, if you had to do it, you know, I would do it in that situation and considering everything that's involved. I'm not being no hater or being smart about it, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, not at all.
You're not a hater.
Definitely been a hater.
Yeah, I'm definitely not that. I ain't never been a hater.
Definitely been a hater.
No, not a hater at all.
I just wanted to ask y'all guys, you know, what's your opinions on this stuff? Now, I've been working on this thing for a year and a half now.
Yeah, and we've been telling you for a year and a half, you're wrong.
Hey, you got to, pipe it down, Ike. You always got your emotions up in there. I hear you. I said.
I don't think Ike's being emotional. I think you might be being emotional.
I said, considering the facts that I laid out, that's all. All I'm asking. Just consider it.
No, all right. Yeah.
We're not considering any of that.
No. Not going to consider it. Look, I think the reason OG wants him is because OG doesn't like that AJ publicly twice a year complains that he's not getting the ball. Yeah.
Well, he thinks he sort of undermines Jalen and
he does
challenges Jalen too much, which causes everybody else to talk about it and everything else. So,
by the way, I like how he's shifted his take from you don't need a number one wide receiver to win a Super Bowl to you don't need 12 catches. No one said that.
Yeah.
No one said you need to get 12 catches.
Yeah.
They just won the Super Bowl with a top three receiver.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's allowed. Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Yeah. And with two top 12 receivers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
It's tough to see someone lose their fastball in real time.
Well, he's, you know, he wanted this, you know, at the OG Wade's goal would be Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl, becomes Super Bowl MVP.
With no talent around him.
But what has happened is it has, I think OG is a lost guy right now. He has no North Star. His North Star was to convince everybody that that could happen, and it happened, and now he's got nothing left. So now he sets his sights on running A.J. Brown out of town.
Yes.
Yeah.
Again, we're not saying trade A.J. Brown.
No. Would not ever. Just asked if it was realistic. That's all.
It is annoying and weird how much it's still out there.
Yeah. I would say so.
Well, because it's a name.
Yeah, but
I hear you. Maybe there's again from the Patriots side, it's probably absolutely true.
I'm sure they want him. Yeah. They would trade for him. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
So yeah, of course, and especially and Drake May looks like he can play. Actually, mm-hmm. I mean that I wonder how far away that team is if they get a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know. So coming up next, we are in Clearwater, and spring training coverage is brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. We have a bunch of great guests today. At 4:30, Preston Mattingly, Phillies GM, will join us. 3:30, about an hour from now, Bryce Harper. And coming up next, Trey Turner will join us. The big question, do we ask Trey Turner about the inappropriate touching from Jack 2 years ago? That is the question.
That is the question.
Again, a perfectly normal interaction.
Yes. Normal for you, maybe. Maybe not normal for everybody
else.
Well,
when you see a good close friend.
Yes. All right. He's not your good close friend. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're in Clearwater. On an off day here at Bay Care Ballpark with Trey Turner. Thanks for making the time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yep. So it's funny, we're watching you guys work out a little bit on the field, and it's funny to go from, you know, we just got through Eagle season, and we watch Eagles training camp, which is almost like military, and then you watch baseball spring training, and the seasons are just way different. I was thinking about what it would be like if baseball had a 17-game season.
Yeah, I was going to say we play every day, so
yeah.
You know, I mean,
you have to pace yourself.
Not that they're not important, obviously they're all important, but it's different mindset. I think too from that, you know, watching football the last couple of years, that switch you have to turn on for game day, you know, you got to get ready to go out there and lay everything on the line, and you know, we're competing just at the same height, but at the physical aspect's a little different. So you know, I think that's the main difference I've seen, is just how we compete is so different, and I think that's what makes the sports beautiful.
Yeah, how is it like? It's really interesting to me to make every game important, but also know that you have to play again tomorrow. And try to find that balance in between treating every game as if it's important, but almost not too important.
100%. I think Don't get too high. Don't get too low. For me, that's why I feel like I try to work hard, try to put in the right prep and be consistent in that aspect, and then just play the game. And knowing you're not going to be perfect, you're going to have some bad days and whatnot, but over a course of a season, all that work you put in each and every day, you'll probably come out ahead if you're doing those right things. And, you know, that's where I'm at. And I think that's where a lot of us are. Is I think we got a lot of veterans and a lot of professionals that we work hard, we do our work, and then we have fun when we can. But, you know, first and foremost, we're working.
So I know you guys were former teammates, right? You and Max Scherzer. Mm-hmm. Was there a part of you that was a little nervous about hitting with the challenge the other day?
No. I was just messing with him. I know he hates it, so I was hoping he threw the first pitch right down the middle, and I was going to challenge it regardless, just to mess with him. And I think he's a little confused. He he laughed it off. So, you know, for me, the ABS is pretty cool, but it's hard to focus on for me personally when I know we're not going to have it in the season. So it's like, you know, why do I even challenge her? If I get, you know, screwed on a call in the middle of the season, it's not like I can fix it. So, why practice any other way, in my opinion?
I thought it was a great moment between a couple of friends, gamesmanship. But the idea of baseball changing things. So, you know, I know it's a little test run this year, but they've made some changes over the last couple of years that I know I was hesitant and reluctant to buy into, but it seemingly has made the game a little more enjoyable, at least for the fans. I'm wondering from a player's perspective, do you like some of the things that they have done to sort of make the game, I guess, a little more update, a little more fan-friendly?
Yeah, for sure.
From a viewership standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, for me, nobody wants to stand out there for 4 or 5 hours and just watch a slow game. We want to play, too. And I understand there's an art to that in baseball and there's strategy and all that. But at first, I wasn't for the pitch clock. And then now, you know, having it implemented in and seeing how we've adjusted, I think it would be weird to go back, you know. So there's a right way to do everything. And I think you just got to think about it. You got to discuss it with players and ownership and MLB and just do it right. You know, I think we've proven we're open to certain things. But at the same time, we want to be able to perform at, you know, our highest abilities. We want to play the same game we did, you know, as a kid for the most part. And it's just a little adjustment period.
I think you have to give the league and the players credit, too, for being open to that change, too, especially because baseball, I think more than any other sport, is steeped in its, we do it this way, you know, it's tradition, which is good, I think is good. But I agree with Ike. I think the changes have been good so far.
I mean, sometimes we don't have a choice, you know. I don't want to say, like, we're all for everything, but we got to adjust and some of the things we're not super happy about, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, the other team has to deal with the same thing. So it's, you know, how can you strategize and use those to your advantage or their disadvantage and different things like that. So, like I said, we're always competing. We love it. That's why we're here, is to compete and try to win. And sometimes there's little obstacles here or there, but we adjusted, and I think it's, you know, it's been for the better for the most part.
I know you said the birth of your third child. Mm-hmm. Me, dad guy as well.
Nice.
Do professional athletes get dad brain? Like, because I feel like an idiot since I had my 2 months. Like, are you tired?
Well, I have done nothing because my family's not with me, so I feel really bad for my wife. She's got
it's actually just like Jack.
Three by herself right now at home, so I feel bad for her. I know she's grinding over there, but you know, my kids are good. They're good kids, and they're definitely high energy and crazy. But the oldest one does well in school, and the youngest one's starting to learn too. So it's been fun watching them grow, and we'll be done at three. Three's a lot. But I'm excited to see them. They're coming over soon, and I'm excited to see them. I haven't seen them in a while.
It's a WIP afternoon show in Clearwater with Trey Turner. So when you came here last year and we spoke to you and spoke to a couple of other players, it seemed like the mission for everybody was, hey, let's get off to a great start. Let's win the division, which you did, which you achieved, but then didn't achieve, you know, ultimately playoff-wise. Is there anything that you learned from how you prepared last year, how last season went, and that you're taking into this year and the preparation for this season?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, I think I want to speak for players. I think we know, like, whoever plays well at the end of the year has got a good chance to win the World Series. So playing well in June, July, and earlier months, it's great because you want to win that division, but it's hard to play really good baseball for 8 straight months. Everyone's going to go through a little spell of bad baseball and different things and injuries and whatnot. And we had some of those things, and it just didn't seem like at the end we could pull ourselves out of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where in years past we were peaking, you know, at the end of the season. So it's hard. It's hard to be like, we need to win this game right now, and it's, you know, April 20th, and then knowing we want to play on November 1st. You know, it's hard to do. It's hard to see the big picture and the small picture at the same time. I like to keep it one day at a time. I like to focus on today. I want to have fun today. I want to work hard today, try to get better, try to win at whatever that means, and then we'll move on to tomorrow. So I think that one day at a time kind of deal, as boring as it is, I think that's the only way to play baseball for a long season, be pretty good, try to win a division, try to get home field advantage, and then also play deep into the postseason. And you know, it's hard too. I think it's understated. Like, everyone at the end of the year is playing good baseball. They didn't get there by accident. So I think we're more than capable to beat anybody, but we got to do it. And, you know, last year we fell short.
Is this more to say, because, like, fans in here, this, and they're like, hold on, what do you mean? The beginning of the season doesn't matter as much, so they may interpret it the wrong way. You go out there and try to win every game.
Without a doubt.
The results may not be what you want, and so you don't necessarily allow early results to get you down if they aren't exactly what you want.
I mean more of your reaction, right?
Yes.
Like, you lose a game in – you know, April, you're like, all right, we'll get them tomorrow. You know, I didn't want to lose. Obviously, we tried everything we could to win the game, but it's how you react to that loss. Whereas you lose a game in September and you need that win, it's more devastating. So as you go on, obviously, the way the games feel more for us as players and probably staff and managers and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. I mean, we are trying to win every single game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. Every game is very important. It's just how you react to them early on. You're like, all right, we'll get them tomorrow. But, you know, if you do that too much, you kind of dig yourself that hole, you know?
Sure.
So there's a balance to everything. And I think that's why the veteran presence is big to know. You know, you can weather storms. You know, losing a game here or there is all right. Did we learn something? What can we do better? And then build on that.
So the big story seemingly out of camp so far is you possibly going back to the leadoff spot and being this team's leadoff hitter. You know, is that something that excites you? And do you think it can take your game even to another level, getting back to that spot?
Yeah, I haven't done it in a long time. Last time I done it was 2019. Had a good year for me. I think I said this before, and we all say it, and we'll hit wherever Rob wants us to, wherever the coaching staff wants us to. We'll hit wherever because we want to win. We don't care. So, you know, if that is leadoff, it's 2, 3. I hit 8, you know, a couple years ago. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. But, but yeah, we'll hit wherever. And you know, that does excite me in the sense of maybe I can run a little more, score some more runs. You know, the last couple of years I'm trying to, you know, drive the ball a little bit more. And not that I won't do that if I do lead off, but you know, that getting on first with no one in front of me type deal to lead off a game, I think can put a lot of pressure on the other team. And maybe we can have some big innings early on, maybe not bigger, but big innings early on and kind of get downhill early on. So I'm excited if it happens. I'll be excited if I hit wherever, though. I'm just excited to be back and love the game, love playing. And, you know, I think we've got a good squad.
Is there pressure to try to see more pitches when you're hitting leadoff?
I think there's a little bit to it. I wouldn't say pressure, but I think you're definitely a little more selective just by trade. You know, you're probably taking the first pitch of the game. Obviously, you know, guys like Kyle, and I've even done in the past where you swing at that first pitch, because it's a really good one to hit. But, you know, you're kind of taking the first pitch of the game, and, you know, I think that helps you get into the at-bat a little bit more, see a few more pitches and get your timing down. So I wouldn't call it pressure, but I think there's some strategy to it for sure.
Last year, you were going great. You'd had the hamstring injury, and I think you even mentioned this, but you could actually see that you were hesitant to go full when the hamstring injury happened. And that's an injury that is tough because it can feel normal, and then all of a sudden you tweak it and it's gone. Mm-hmm. How do you mentally eventually get past that worry and past, like, feeling a twinge and thinking it's there?
Yeah,
again?
Exactly. I mean, you kind of said it's like every little thing. You're like, oh, no, is it again? You know, and I think it's just a day-by-day thing where you push a little more. You're trying to be smart about it, but you're also, you know, playing in a Major League Baseball game. It's like, you know, you got to be prepared to play. So I always felt like I could play, you know, at 80-90% speed you know, if I had to slow down, I always felt like I could really impact the game still. I could hit, play some defense, do different things, even run the bases smart and make some good decisions. So I always felt like I could play a little lower, but each day that goes by, you're like, oh, I ran that one out. And I think we have so much technology now, you can see how fast I was actually running. So I was like, oh, I was running, you know, pretty much my normal speed, so I shouldn't worry. And it just comes with confidence, but that's with anybody. That's a pitcher with an arm injury. That's anybody dealing with anything. You gotta build back that confidence a little bit, and it took me a little while, but, you know, now we're passing. It's good to go.
You and Bryce both have a bunch of years left on your contract, but a lot of the vets don't, right?
Yep.
Up at the end of this year, up at the end of next year. You guys have had some good runs but haven't gotten it done. Overall, do you ever think about, hey, if we don't go deep, this could be the last time that these guys are here together?
Nope, never. I've never thought about that. I just heard that a day or two ago for the first time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think we got a great group of guys. We got some young players that are still around. I trust, you know, John and Dave to keep adding pieces when we need them. I mean, we just traded for Lizardo, Wheeler and Nola. I mean, we got so many good players. There's no reason to not think we can win for a long time, and that's my look at it. I mean, in Washington, we tried to win for a long, long time. I mean, teams can do it. It may not always be the same faces. I hope it is, because I love all the guys here. But for me, it's I don't even worry about stuff like that. It's not my job. I want to win, and whoever we got, you know, wearing this uniform, I think we're excited about, and we want to, you know, accept and come together and be a baseball team. So, thought never crosses my mind.
I'm wondering for yourself, third year here with the organization. First year didn't get off to the start that you wanted it to get off to. I thought last year, you looked like the Trey Turner as advertised before your injury. I'm wondering how much post-injury did contribute to sort of some of your tell-off from where you were in the first half, and can we expect to see that Trey Turner we saw the first half of last year this year with you?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I think since I've been here, I've played really, really well and pretty bad to my standard, so it's kind of raising that floor. You know, I think the good times are going to be there, so now when it's going bad, can I – you know, turn that 0-for-10 into a 2-for-10, or, you know, those things, or can I make a couple more plays here or there? And I think that's very easy to do, or very easy to, you know, ask of me, which I've done in the past, and put together a complete season. I like playing every day. I like the challenge, so you know, I'm excited for it, but I feel like it's a lot of talking always, and it's, yeah, you know, it's I'm over the talking, over all that. So
I understand it. Yep.
Just play good baseball and win and have some fun and see where it takes us.
All right, Trey. Three quick ones before we let you go. They're quick. First one: city you most look forward to visiting during the season, and the one that you least look forward to visiting during the season.
man, I think it depends on the year, but. I don't know. I like going to new places. So, I mean, I always say San Diego's fun to go to just because it's a good city, good food, good weather, good
beautiful
park, all that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, so that one's easy. But it was interesting going to Seattle last year, or fun going to Seattle. Never been there, first time in my career. So that was kind of a cool bucket list there. And then worst.
Do you want me to just let you off the hook on that one?
I don't know.
Don't say Cincinnati.
Just say Cincinnati.
Don't say Cincinnati.
I only want to say Cincinnati because Kyle will have a meltdown. If you say this, Kyle will lose his mind. So that's a fun one for me. But, no, I mean, I think it's hard to pick a bad city in the major leagues. You know, you're living the life. But
well, Cleveland's pretty bad. So
yeah, I was gonna say
I'm an Ohio kid.
Bad food,
so, yes.
Yeah. Bad food is hard to beat, or a bad hotel. Sometimes, like when you go to a bad hotel, you're like, this is no fun.
And you're gonna be there for 3 days.
Yeah. So I mean, we're spoiled. So I mean,
do you read your social media mentions?
No, I don't. I don't do anything.
And then finally, rank the following Starburst colors from best to worst: red, yellow, pink, orange.
Best to worst?
Best to worst.
I'm going to go pink, obviously. I'm going to go red. And then I might be on the minority on this because I do like orange, but I'm going to go yellow, then orange.
I think that's pretty standard.
That's pretty standard.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I feel like people hate yellow, so I don't know.
See, I have pink last.
Really?
No.
I go, you're definitely in the
middle. I go red, yellow, orange, pink. Yeah.
That's I'm good. A pink first.
Pink is.
Yes.
All right, Trey. Well, we appreciate your time,
you,
man. Good luck. We're excited for Phillies baseball to be back.
So the biggest controversial thing there is the Starburst thing, is the pink versus red.
Yeah,
so,
strawberry.
Yeah. You have strawberry one as well.
Well, everybody pink's bad. Pink's the worst one.
Yeah, see, I have pink as the worst one
totally
as well.
Disagree.
Yeah, I have cherry one. Red one?
Okay, cherry. I mean, I can compromise with cherry.
Okay.
Yeah.
But when I tell people I have orange over pink, that's when there's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, big news. Thank you, Trey Turner, for joining us today. The big news on the in the Eagles world, as reported by Eagles Insider of the Year frontrunner Adam Schefter.
Yep.
Jeez, he's on a heater.
He is on a heater. He is on a heater. And we'll find out if the WIP's lone candidate, the Eagles Insider of the Year, gets any credit for this. But the Eagles have re-signed Zach Bond to a three-year contract. It is $51 million, 3 years, $51 million, and $34 million of it guaranteed. Ike, what is your first response on the Eagles re-signing Zach Bond?
Oh, good job, Howie Roseman. Getting it done. We all pretty much felt this was the number one priority in free agency, or should be the number one priority in free agency for the Eagles, and they get it done. You know, didn't know exactly what the Eagles were willing to do to pay a linebacker based on in the past, but I got to be honest with you. It's been a while since a linebacker has played at this level. You know, so there is really no comp for the Eagles to make when you look at the last 20 years of linebacker play.
I keep bringing up T.J. Edwards and Nigel Bradham, and they were both good, but they did not play the way that Zach Bond. They weren't
weren't a defensive player of the year candidate.
Right. They weren't first-team all-pro.
All-pro, yeah.
Right.
So, you know, kudos to the Eagles and Howie Roseman for getting this job done, understanding his value to the team. And there is a little bit of risk there of whether or not it's a one-year wonder. But you know what? The Eagles feel good about Zach Bond. They know him as far as he's been in the building for a year. They know his work habits. They know his study habits. They know how impactful he is as a leader on this team, what he means to Vic Fangio, and what they want to do defensively. And so they got out of their comfort zone, at least from based on their history. And this is probably the most money they've given a linebacker who's not a outside pass rusher, right? Like this is the most money they've given a linebacker.
Yeah, I can't think of even what's it called? Even like in context, I can't think of a contract this big, you know, for a linebacker. What do you think of the Zach Bond deal? 215-592-9494. I mean, it's hard not to be positive about it, right? I mean, and you're saying, you know, the 1 year wonder. I don't know how you could be a 1 year wonder at that position playing as much as he did, right? I think you could look at a player that is situational, that performed well in a situational setting, and say, I don't know if he could play, if that's a three down player, if they can play 85-90% of the snaps when they're only playing 40. I get that. But I don't think as much as Zach Bond played, as much as responsibility as he had, and the key, and you mentioned Vic Fangio, with Fangio being here and Fangio, it happening in Fangio's system, which you imagine is going to stay the same next year.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him not being good again unless there were injury issues or he doesn't have the mental makeup that you would think he would after he got paid, you know, all of those things. It seems like a low risk signing to me.
Yeah, well, injuries are always a risk.
Yep.
The mental makeup I'm not concerned with, but now you're not getting twice the bang for your buck as you did in 2024.
Right.
Now, you're paying $12.5-13 million a year, so you got to play to that level of $13 million a year.
Right, you're not a surprise.
And that's what I mean by a 1 year thing. Like,
yep.
Like it's not easy being that player every year.
Well, and I've said this before, but like a general manager's job is to get more value than you spend. The teams that end up winning, because you know everybody spends about the same amount of money. The team that wins gets more for what they spend. Well, you get an AP Defensive Player of the Year candidate for 1 year contract for whatever he signed, $7 million, $5 million.
I think it was three.
I think it was like 2.5.
Oh, it was Devin White that was the $4 or $5 million one, right? That is great value. To your point, $12 or $13 million a year, you have to be that. I don't know if you have to be the Defensive Player of the Year again, but you have to be a Pro Bowl level linebacker and the quarterback of the defense, which is what he was all of last year. And he's probably going to have to do it without N'Kobe Dean for a significant portion of the season as N'Kobe Dean recovers from that injury. So that gives even more responsibility to what Zach Bond has to do. So.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it's a great move for the Eagles. Like I said, it's a little out of what we're accustomed to watch them do. But just like they rewarded Saquon Barkley and what they went for what he did, and even before last year, even signing him as a free agent, you know, this is 2 years in a row where the Eagles – have said this isn't the Eagles of past, right? This is about paying a player based on his production, based on the talent that he has, regardless of the position.
Yep.
And they paid two positions that they didn't used to pay that type of money.
That is crazy. That I just thought, you bring that up, that the money we just saw over the last 24 hours, the Eagles handed out, and it is how much guaranteed to Bond?
34.
So $34 million guaranteed to Bond, $36 million guaranteed to Saquon Barkley. Over the last 2 days, the Eagles have committed $70 million to a running back, a 28-year-old running back, and a 27-year-old linebacker.
Yeah.
Two positions they don't usually spend on. That's it.
It's growth. Just get pay and keep good football
is
players.
Is it growth or is it a mistake?
Well, it could be a mistake.
Yeah.
It could be a mistake. But it's like I think they let some good football players go in the past because it didn't fit their organizational philosophy.
Right.
Philosophy, yeah.
Like the one they used to have with age, you know.
The age thing, the positions they don't pay.
Yeah.
And now it's like, hey, breaking news.
Yeah. Ike, what do you think? You want to strap on the pads again? You see 31 million guaranteed?
I wish I could. I'd go out there and just get injured right now.
Yep. Yeah. Wouldn't have to sit here with these two idiots. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Should we give Elliott Shore Parks Insider of the Year credit for saying the Eagles will get the Bond deal done before free agency? What do you think the result is on that, Ike? Yes or no?
How do people feel about Elliott with this? I would give it to him. I would give him the credit. But I wonder, I'd say yeah. I'd say yeah, and let's go 57%.
52.7% say no, he does not get credit for it.
What could we put out that people would be pro Elliott on?
Oh,
it's not right.
Well, yeah. His Embiid cooked and Paul George cooked thing.
Yeah, but that's more anti you. I'm talking strictly just Elliott.
Well, speaking of Elliott, we will bring Elliott Shore Parks on next to discuss whether he gets Insider of the Year credit. And we do have the new power rankings coming out at 4:30 today, just before Preston Mattingly. We should make him sit there and watch us talk about the Eagles Insider of the Year. But we will talk to Elliott about the extension, what it means for the Eagles cap for next year, and what it means for the moves going forward. Next, your reaction, the Eagles re-sign Zach Bond to a 3-year, $51 million contract. In the last 2 days, the Eagles have committed $70 million to a running back and a linebacker. Is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.